Has anyone here ever been angry? Silly question, right? Julia Attaway tells this story. It was raining lightly as we trudged home from the subway with one item left on our to-do list. The bell on the door of the tiny fingers shop was tinkling as we entered. I need to pick up my husband's suit, but I don't have the ticket. The counter clerk went in search of the owner. 2-year-old John whined because he was thirsty. Mary, in my pouch strapped to my check, began to cry. When the owner appeared, I explained what it was I needed. He looked skeptical and asked, "Do you know what the suit looked like?" I had no idea what the suit looked like. All I knew was that my husband Andrew needed that shirt and that suit for an important meeting the next day. Mary began to sprint in earnest. John fussed his way into a tantrum. Elizabeth tugged on my sleeve with one of her endless, "What?" The man flipped aimlessly through a stack of tickets. He pressed the button to rotate the clothing racks and touched two or three suits before finally giving up. "Lady, can't you just go back home and get the ticket and bring it back?" I looked at him as if he had two heads, neither of which was functioning. Eyes blazing, lips compressed, I turned quickly and herded my screaming offspring out the door. "Don't get mad at us, lady. You're the one who forgot the ticket." Frustrated and angry, my words were loud, brief, and to the point. Slamming the door felt mighty good. Yet once outside, I caught sight of the faces of my children. They'd never seen me angry like that before. They were terrified. I knelt on the sidewalk in the rain and drew my children close to me. "I'm sorry, children. Mommy really lost me in there." I glanced back at the window of the shop, knowing I was too tired to apologize to the inner owner now. Turning to the children, I said, "Tomorrow we'll come back so I can say I'm sorry to the man who owned the shop." We can all identify with Julia. We have all lost it at one time or another. Our biblical friends had temper tantrums as well. The Lord said to Moses, "I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterward, he will let you all go from here. When he finally lets you go, he will drive you away." The Lord gave God's people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moses himself was a man of great importance in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's officials, and in the sight of the people. Moses said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out to Egypt. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the firstborn of the female slave who is behind the handmill, and all the firstborn of all of the livestock. There will be a loud cry throughout the whole land of Egypt, such as never been heard before. Nothing will happen to the Israelites who are loyal to me. The Lord will make a distinction between Egypt and Israel. Then all these officials of yours shall come down to me and bow low to me, demanding, 'Leave us, you, and all the people who follow you.' Then we will leave." But Pharaoh didn't believe him. In hot anger, Moses left the presence of Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a thorn in the flesh of Moses. Moses couldn't believe Pharaoh's indifference. This was the last straw for Moses. He just lost it. God often got angry with God's people when they were not faithful to him. The word of the Lord was spoken by Jeremiah. "Cursed be anyone who does not heed the words of the covenant which I commanded your ancestors when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I asked them to keep the covenant and to listen to my voice. They paid no attention to me. They did whatever they wanted to do, whenever they wanted to do it, until I stepped in. The Lord of hosts who gave you this land has pronounced punishment for God's people because they made offerings to Baal, provoking me to anger against them." David was the king of the United Kingdom who loved and served the Lord as he overcame his enemies and built a great city in Jerusalem. But David had his weaknesses. He had an affair with Bathsheba. When she got pregnant, David had her husband Uriah killed in battle to cover up his indiscretion. This action displeased the Lord, who sent the prophet Nathan to David with the following story. There were two men in the same city, one rich, the other poor. The rich man had huge flocks of sheep and herds of cattle. The poor man had nothing but one little female lamb, which he bought and raised. It grew up with him and his children as a member of the family. It ate off his plate and drank from his cup and even slept in his bed. It was like a daughter to him. One day, a traveler dropped in on the rich man. He was too stingy to take an animal from his own herds or flocks to make a meal for his visitor, so he took the poor man's only lamb and prepared a meal to set for his guest. Well, David exploded in anger. As surely as God lives, the man who did this ought to be lynched. He must repay for the lamb four times over for his crime and his stinginess. Nathan looked at David and said, "You are the man." Power had corrupted David's values, and Nathan's story, causing David's anger, brought him back to his commitment to God. We all remember the anger of Jesus when he discovered that the animals available for temple sacrifice had become a commercial money maker. Jesus threw the money changers and false vendors out of the outer court of the temple. We remember the anger of Jesus at the motives of the Pharisees when he healed the man who was crippled on the Sabbath day. Ephesians sums up the biblical stance on anger by saying, "It's okay to be angry. That's part of human nature. But don't use your anger as fuel for revenge. Don't stay angry. Don't go to bed angry. Don't let the evil one get that kind of a foothold in your life." If anger is a part of human life, and if God isn't happy with the results of negative thoughts and actions, how can we handle our anger in a positive way? The Mayo Clinic makes these suggestions. One, take a time out. Anger is a normal and even healthy emotion, but it is important to deal with it in a positive way. Uncontrolled anger can take a toll on our health and on our relationships. Before reacting to a tense situation, take a few minutes to breathe deeply and count to 10. Slowing down can diffuse. Take a breath and a break from the person or situation until your frustration subsides a bit. Two, once you are calm, express your anger. As soon as you are thinking clearly, express your frustration in an assertive but non-confrontational way. State your concerns and needs clearly and directly, but without hurting other people's feelings or trying to control them. Three, get some exercise. Physical activity can provide an outlet for your emotions, especially if you're about to erupt. Physical activity stimulates various brain chemicals that can leave us feeling happier and more relaxed. Four, think before you speak. In the heat of the moment, it is easy to say something we will regret later. Take a few minutes to collect your thoughts before saying anything, and allow others involved in the situation to also think first before speaking. Five, identify possible solutions. Instead of focusing on what makes us mad, work on resolving the issue at hand. Is there a messy room? Close the door. Six, use I statements. To avoid criticizing or placing blame, which might even increase the tension, use I statements to describe the problem. Be respectful and specific. I'm upset that you left the table without offering to help me with the dishes. ourselves swallowed up by our own bitterness and our own sense of injustice. If we can forgive someone who angers us, we might both learn from the situation. It is unrealistic to expect everyone to behave exactly as we want them to at all times. 8. Use humor to release tension. Lightening up can help diffuse tension. Sarcasm, though, is not wise, because it can be misunderstood and it can hurt people's feelings. 9. Practice relaxation skills. Practice deep breathing exercises. Imagine a relaxing scene. Or repeat a calming word or phrase like, take it easy. Listen to music. Write a journal. Or do yoga for relaxation. 10. Know when to seek help. Learning to control anger is a challenge for everyone at times. Consider getting help for anger issues if your anger seems out of control, causes you to do things you might regret, or hurts the feelings of those people around you. Anger management classes or counseling can be helpful. Learn what anger is. Identify what triggers your anger. Recognize signs that you are becoming angry. Learn to respond to frustration and anger in a controlled, healthy way. Explore underlying feelings such as sadness or depression. And most of all, seek God's help in prayer. Dolphus Weary tells this story. At age 15, my son Reginald got his driver's permit and began practicing to drive to our church, which was 2 blocks away. One Sunday, after the service, my wife, Rosie, and I began to wonder where he could be when he didn't come home, when we lived so close to the church. Finally, we saw him walking down the street with a friend. As he approached, I could see the despair in his eyes. With a trembling voice, he said, "Mom, Dad, I wrecked the car." He proceeded to tell us about a drag race around the local junior high school. My wrath was immense and harsh words were ready to tumble from my mouth. How could he be so irresponsible? How could he? "Are you all right, Reggie?" Rosie asked quietly. A gentle word turns away wrath. I did remember that. Reggie nodded, and he began to cry. "I'm so sorry. It was a dumb thing to do." "Yeah. A gentle answer turns away wrath." My angry words sputtered. Rosie's response made me think about the countless number of times God had provided gentle words to me when I was in trouble and when I went astray. I remember how many years ago as a teenager, I drove the minister's Volkswagen to various places to conduct vacation church school. One day, as we were returning home, the motor blew up because I had failed to check the oil. The words I heard from John Perkins, my boss, were gentle, understanding, and caring. I learned then, and try to practice now, that gentle words calm a person's heart. Lord, today and every day, help us to use gentle words, regardless of the circumstances. In Christ's name.